Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, July 18, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. Zach Zimmerman attended the Beyond Wrestling and Evolve doubleheader in Massachusetts on Sunday, and he has full reports available on both shows. Join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw as the show airs, actually beginning with Raw pre-show notes at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Want to jump right into this today. .NET members are listening to .NET Weekly with very special guest Chris DeJoe. Joseph. Chris is the Lucha Underground co-executive producer and had a long run as a member of the WWE creative team. You may remember him from television as Big Dick Johnson. We spent a lot of time talking about his WWE draft-related experiences. Also, got his take on Final Deletion. You may remember that his boss, Eric Van Wagenen, did not have great things to say about Final Deletion initially, and then he backtracked on that a little bit. We also talked about the Wyatt Family Compound video, and he told us all about Wednesday's two-hour Lucha Underground season finale that's going to air at 7 Central, 8 Eastern on El Rey Network. The members are also listening to my quick hits audio update regarding the Brock Lesnar, well, at least potentially violating the anti-doping policy. And members will also be hearing my Q&A audio show later today, and will have exclusive access to my WWE Raw audio review that will be available later on tonight. Obviously, a very exciting time with the WWE draft coming up tomorrow. We'll have you covered every step of the way, especially in members audio. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, visit the main page. Once you're there, you will see the sign-up area. Three different pricing options. Pick the one that works best for you. $7.50 for 1 month will get you in the door. And you can bring that price all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month if you take that annual option. Great time. I mean, and of course, with Battleground coming up on Sunday, it's just a really fun time in pro wrestling. Treat yourself to ProWrestling.net membership via the main page at ProWrestling.net. As always, if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, let's get into the WWE draft rules that WWE released on Sunday afternoon. Kind of a weird time to, I guess I just wanted it out there for first thing Monday morning. Raw has the first overall pick is one of the things that they specified. And to that I say, fine, but tell us why. Just, you know, take a moment in the announcement to tell us that there was a coin toss, or specify that it's because Raw is 3 hours. Just give us a reason, I guess, is the thing I was looking for there. Also, for every two picks that SmackDown gets, Raw will receive three picks because Raw is a three-hour show. I'm not quite sure how this is going to work, so I guess instead of going back and forth, Raw is just going to get an extra pick every few rounds, I guess it would be. This is definitely clunky, but I do think that some fans are making a bigger deal out of this than they should. This is a work draft, people. Remember that. So if you're worried that Raw is getting extra high draft picks, don't, because they could just as easily have had them go back and forth without giving any extra picks to Raw and just had SmackDown make what would look like, in Vince's mind, foolish picks and then have Raw capitalize on it. And at some point, they would have needed to have given a certain, you know, they would have had to have filled out the Raw roster a little bit more because of the three-hour aspect. I understand that. I mean, there's a big part of me that wishes they at least would have waited. You know, I don't know that Raw needs those picks that early to load up on the star power. But it's just kind of another example of SmackDown kind of looking like the underdog here in a babyface way, and Raw looking a bit heelish. But we'll see how they cover that as on tonight's show and, of course, at the draft. Tag teams count as one pick unless a brand specifically drafts a single member of the team. Now, the exception to this seems to be the Lucha Dragons, who are listed as singles wrestlers, and I do hope they take a moment to explain why. I mean, it's as simple as saying, hey, this is what Kalisto and Sin Cara chose. You know, they've enjoyed their run together. They captured the NXT tag titles and all of this, but they've just decided that it's time to move on. They want to focus on their singles career. I don't think you need to make a big angle or, you know, have a big angle or anything, but explain it. The actual rule doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, because there's really no good reason why someone drafting wouldn't just take both wrestlers and then split them if they wanted to. I guess they could have heel Stephanie split a tag team out of spite or something like that if somebody mouths off to her. I'm still not a big fan of it, but I do like that it lowers the chance of WWE pulling off a dick move just by splitting a tag team for shock value with no real plans for either wrestler working as a singles act. There will be six picks made from the NXT talent pool. Now, the names I've been hearing most, and we've been saying talking about this for a while, Finn Balor, Bayley, Chad Gable, Jason Jordan. Gable and Jordan are the American Alpha tag team. I'd love to see Shinsuke Nakamura included. He should be. I mentioned on Twitter the other night that Nakamura facing Balor at Full Sail University is like the equivalent of MLB's Clayton Kershaw pitching to David Ortiz in Toledo. It's just some minor league stadium. I say get your best talent on the main roster. Stop propping up NXT for their theater tours. And yes, they run arenas for WrestleMania weekend and for SummerSlam. I'm not saying you abandon NXT by any means, but get your best talent up on the main roster, and there should still be enough good young talent available to kind of rebuild NXT. And if you have the flexibility that, all right, if you don't feel like they have enough talent, well, have some guys go back and forth, but don't leave Nakamura down there. For no other reason than, well, we need to have a face of the brand. Well, let's develop someone else. Other notables from the draft rules, though. Injured wrestlers. This isn't anything they specified, but kind of reading between the lines, they didn't list Emma, Tamina, Luke Harper, Nikki Bella, so they are not draft eligible. And I like this because it gives the company some flexibility. When those wrestlers return, they can kind of figure out where they're most needed. Is there an injury or something like that? Where can they make the biggest splash? So I do like that. The women are eligible to be drafted by both brands, so they are not just placing them all on one side, as has been rumored, or at least discussed. I don't know if it was rumored, but there was a lot of speculation that maybe Raw gets the women, or SmackDown gets the women, and then Raw will get to the other side, will get tag teams, or cruiserweights, or something like that. Now, they could just have one of the general managers end up drafting all of the women, but that would be very, very awkward, so I don't think that's going to happen. The draft list shows New Day and the Social Outcasts as trios that can be drafted together. So they're like a tag team. The exception to this, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are listed as a tag team. AJ Styles is listed as a singles wrestler. There's a big part of me that would like to see them split, only to say, we're not playing by your damn rules. And then, just to establish them as being defiant. Establish them as just being guys who won't play by their rules. And then you can execute a trade. I know they're going to be, my guess on this is that they're just going to end up on the same brand anyway. So I'm not saying I want to see them split completely, permanently. I'm just saying I think it's a way to establish these guys have a little bit of a rebellious side to them, and they're not just going to do what management tells them to do. But I think that I doubt that will happen only because it's the early core part of the draft, and I think we'll see Vince McMahon slowly lose interest in the split. That's my fear. I mean, I wish it was a firm split, and he was going to just enforce the rules all along. But I think initially he will, and then he's going to lose interest. So I think initially to him, the idea of already having some sort of an issue where these guys just pop up wherever they want to, I think it's good for them. But I think Vince will, the idea that we need to protect the integrity of the split or however you want to label it, I think is the approach they'll take. Meanwhile, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, and Eric Rowan listed as singles wrestlers, so you cannot just draft the Wyatt family. Is that a sign that the Wyatts are splitting up? Will one of the GMs end up drafting all of them? Another thing, keep this in mind. What we see on Tuesday night, there may be some shocking moments. You could, and I mentioned this to Wyatt specifically, maybe Bray ends up on one brand, and Strowman and Rowan end up elsewhere. It could be a sign of them splitting up, but I think you can also have some shocking moments on Tuesday at the draft and get people talking a little bit and then work a trade. I do think that could happen. So maybe Bray and, basically maybe the GMs end up making a trade where Bray is reunited with his Wyatt family members and AJ is reunited, for instance, with Anderson and Gallows. Just something to consider. Not saying they'll do it, but just something to consider. Another notable from the draft rules, Undertaker is not draft eligible. And I know there's been a lot of speculation as to what this means. And fair enough, there should be, but I do think it's worth noting, a little bit different circumstances here, but Triple H works about as many matches as Undertaker does. He's not draft eligible, so I kind of like the idea that part-time legends can basically come and go as they please, even if they don't outright acknowledge that. What's Taker around for? WrestleMania most years, and maybe a tour here and there. I mean, it's odd that he was listed for the draft commercial and he's not even eligible. Now, it could have been a little bit of a, I don't know if you'd say bait and switch, because it wasn't like they told you he was going to be there, but it certainly implied when you see the commercial so that, you know, he's part of this. But, you know, so it's possible something changed, and it's possible there's a story here, and there's been a lot of suspicion regarding Taker and Vince McMahon's relationship these days, and whether Taker is retired or whether he's returning. I mean, we'll see, but he is not draft eligible. To close things out, I do want to get into a few things that I'm going to be looking for on tonight's WWE Raw. At the top of my list, I want to know what they say about Brock Lesnar. Man, what a difference a week makes, huh? I mean, it just, the potential violation for violating the anti-doping policy. Do they have Seth Rollins rail on him like he's done Roman Reigns? Do they just ignore it? Will they mention his match with Randy Orton? Now, keep in mind with that one, they may not have mentioned it this week just because this is the go-home week for Battleground. So I could see where they wanted to get it out because of the UFC hype that they got, and then they just kind of sit on it for a week because they want people focused on Battleground, as if the draft, you know, happening the same week isn't enough of a distraction. But they want people thinking about Battleground. They don't want people thinking about SummerSlam. But now they may end up mentioning this match, even if they don't go overboard in hyping it, just to send the message that they're planning to go forward with the fight, or the match, I should say. I'm not quite sure how they'll handle that, but I am intrigued. Another one, this is not the second highest on my list. There's a reason I'm saving the other one for third, and I'll get into that. But can they sell us on Battleground in addition to hyping this draft? I mean, I think they've been very careful to avoid going all out with the draft hype thus far, for the last month since they've announced this thing. I don't think they wanted this to feel like a lame duck period, but for a lot of us, you know, guess what? It's felt like a lame duck period, and Sunday's show is not the big thing on anyone's mind. I think if done right, it could have been one of those shows that, well, a lot of these guys are going to be leaving, and this could be the last chance you have to see them face one another. I mean, is there a way to sell us on this pay-per-view feeling important in that way? They've already told us that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are having their last match, and my guess is they end up on opposite brands. I would have waited until now. You know, I would have advertised. I think you can sell Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in a match without having to tell people right from the start it's the last time they'll face one another. If they've been building up to this match all month, and then coming out of the draft on Tuesday, they start telling it, wow, that means, you know, this is probably the last match these two are going to have. It adds a little bit of last-minute importance to it. But, I mean, it's just, it feels like Sunday show, right now, it just feels like the least important pay-per-view event in a long time, just because the draft is overshadowing it. It doesn't mean it's going to feel that way coming out of Tuesday's show, but I want to see what they do. I mean, can they manage to heat up the previous, well, on paper anyway, it just seemed like the first Shield triple threat, you know, with the three former Shield members facing one another, was like this can't-miss match that people were excited by. And yeah, Roman's been suspended, and you know that didn't help their cause, but I don't think they've done anything by having Ambrose and, you know, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins just go back and forth on the mic and taking some pot shots at Roman. I'm not excited by this match. I mean, had you told me they were going to do this even 2 months ago, I'm like, wow, this is going to be hot. It doesn't feel that way right now. And remember, they don't have Roman Reigns available until later this week. He is not eligible for the draft in terms of appearing there. He is certainly eligible to be drafted, but he is still suspended, so he is not expected to be there unless they break their own rules on this. I mean, I'm mildly, I'll add that, you know, intrigued by with a follow-up to New Day and the Wyatt family. It's some people like that more than Final Deletion, and to each his own, but it didn't leave me anxious to see what comes next between these teams. I guess where I'm mildly curious is to see, well, how do you follow that up? You know, is New Day now a little bit more serious because of this? Do they come out and ruin the whole thing by laughing and joking around? I want to see. So, so far, I'm just not very excited about Battleground, but obviously the next 2 days or 2 nights could change that a lot. It's just being overshadowed. The final thing I'm looking forward to, of course, is who are the general managers? And I did save this one for last because of a potential spoiler regarding the SmackDown general manager. We've talked about it, but I'd like to give you guys a spoiler warning on that. And I will give you one, again, before getting into that, since it, you know, I wanted to make that the last thing we talk about today. I think most people are aware. It's not some new bombshell or anything like that. It's just kind of the name that's been out there. But I'll talk about the Raw side first. I wrote a blog last week at ProWrestling.net that you can check out. In the Powell's Viewpoint section, and I noted that I would like to see Kurt Angle in the role of Raw General Manager. Now, I don't know how realistic it is. I mean, the key for me, though, is that it would eliminate the issue they have. Well, number one, it would eliminate, I guess, here's first on my list, it would eliminate the possibility of reuniting the Authority. I don't want to see that on Raw. My big thing is, you don't want to make Raw out to be the evil empire. And right now, with Shane McMahon running SmackDown, with them having fewer picks, with Raw getting the first pick, you kind of, and Stephanie being the heel Authority figure, you kind of have that. Where if Angle comes in, now they could turn him heel, or they could just cast him as a heel. But he brings some freshness to it that putting Triple H and Stephanie back together just does not at all. And, you know, I've said I like Hunter as a babyface Authority figure type. You know, just the proud pop of NXT role, neutral party type thing would be fine. But I don't want to see the Authority reunited. I don't even want to see him feuding with Stephanie. I really don't. And so I hope they have something good in mind there, and I hope they have something that is going to kind of bring some balance. I think they need balance, and a returning Kurt Angle would provide that. And he's not the only one, but I would like Kurt Angle in this role. I think it would be cool to see him back in WWE, and I think it would generate a lot of buzz going into the draft, especially if they don't bring him out on Raw, if they were to wait until Tuesday, even if they just announce who it is on Raw. Now, they probably would bring him out, but I think there would be, you know, kind of a cliffhanger at the end of the night. You say who it is, and you say that person is going to be there at the live SmackDown on Tuesday, your first chance to see the new general manager of Raw, Kurt Angle. Well, that's a nice hook. I mean, the draft itself should be, but that's another really nice hook for SmackDown. All right, it is that time where I told you we'd be getting into that potential spoiler. That again, it's the one that's out there, but I'm just trying to please everybody here, just for those who have somehow managed to avoid it. You've been warned. It's the last thing we're going to talk about today, all right? So thank you for listening if you were avoiding that. But we did tell you from, well, really, the start of this whole draft thing, that Daniel Bryan was at the top of WWE's wish list for SmackDown in the general manager spot. We didn't know they were going to have a commissioner and a general manager, but that was something that has been that we've heard some buzz about for quite a while. The question, though, with this was whether he would be interested in the job. Since then, last week, WWE coming out of Raw mistakenly listed a headline touting something to the effect of the Yes Movement is coming to SmackDown. Now, could this be a red herring that they intentionally put out there? Probably not. I mean, I don't know that you want to tease Daniel Bryan as someone as popular as him and then have it set people up for a letdown. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, they couldn't, let's say it's Angle. Are people going to be losing sleep over Daniel Bryan? Well, some would be really disappointed, yeah. But, I mean, if you have somebody suitable, I just don't think it is. I think someone made a mistake, and if not, hey, cool. I kind of like red herrings, but we'll, you know, if it's done right. Now, if it's, hey, surprise, it's Big Johnny after all for some reason. It won't be because Shane's already said he wants nothing to do with John Laurinaitis, but let's say it were that. Well, then that's a big mistake to do a red herring and get people excited for somebody and then deliver a letdown. But either way, I am curious to see who they will name. If it's not Daniel Bryan, I don't know who it would be. There's some thought that Stephanie could take one. Whoever Stephanie takes and whoever Shane takes, Vince could come out and flip-flop and force them to work with the other general manager. Yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different things they could do. I don't like, it feels a little gimmicky, but it does bring back memories of what Brian Gewirtz was talking about on Chris Jericho's podcast recently. He's the former WWE Raw longtime head writer for WWE, and he was talking about how when he was, I think it was the original draft, it would have been him and Paul Heyman, or maybe, I can't say that for sure. I just don't know the timeline on this one. But they were, Brian was writing, they were splitting things up, so it must have been. And all of Brian Gewirtz's so-called guys, you know, the guys that he favored, and that he had good relationships with, and he enjoyed writing for most, ended up on SmackDown. And then conversely, all of Paul Heyman's guys ended up on Raw. And so naturally, Bryan assumed, well, I must be writing SmackDown instead of Raw. Cool. No, Vince flipped it. And so he sent Heyman to work with, you know, the guys that people thought were thought of as Gewirtz guys. And Gewirtz then had to run Raw with Heyman's guys. And, you know, it was an interesting podcast where he just kind of talked about Jericho, I think, brought up the idea that, oh, he kind of wanted to take these guys out of their, so he wanted to take you guys out of your comfort zone, I think was the idea. And so it's interesting, but I mean, it's not whether that's something that would carry over to television, I don't know, but it did bring back that memory. But it's going to be an interesting 48 hours here. I guess not even 48 hours because a little over 24. I mean, there's a lot of SmackDown coverage coming up on Tuesday night with the bonus show, and then you know, the pre-show. Then you have the second screen experience, and then you have the, I think it's a two-hour post-show as well available on the network, so it's going to be a lot of fun. The plan is for Jake Barnett to have you guys covered with the live coverage of SmackDown, as Jake always did on Thursday nights, but I think my plan for me, and I'll kind of try to get this mapped out, is to do something extra with the bonus content. It might be as simple as just kind of keeping a running list of the people as they're drafted, that sort of a thing, but we should have that worked out by the time you guys hear me host this show tomorrow. Finally, today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes. It's always appreciated because you are helping spread the word about this podcast and about ProWrestling.net. Again, I'll be back tomorrow in this same slot as host. So until then, thanks for listening and take care.